Ministries. I'm putting the trumpet to my mouth, calling for the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
As I wake up with the morning of each day that passes by, and I listen to the sound upon my ear, I can't help but to keep a watch towards the eastern sky, and I wonder if the trumpet will be the next sound that I'll hear. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. What a beautiful day for Him to take His children home. How I long to see His face and to touch His nail-scarred hands. What a
on the last few programs, I was teaching on the consequences of people's choices. What happens to people, the choices they make on earth will bring results for the rest of eternity in some cases. A person who rejects the Lord Jesus Christ will have to suffer the consequences of his choice. Because the Bible teaches us there is eternal separation and an eternal lake of fire for those who do not seek God, for those who do not accept Jesus as their personal Savior. regardless how religious you are, regardless how good a life you live, the Bible teaches us there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, and that name is Jesus. So the choice you make with that will, there will be consequences for the rest of eternity. You will either spend your eternity in heaven with in the glories of God, or you'll spend your eternity separated from God in the eternal lake of fire. That is clearly written in the Word of God. So the question is, how about the choices you make as a believer after you become a Christian? Even the unbeliever, the bad choices he makes here on earth may bring him a lot of suffering and pain and brokenness and a lot of heartache, even as he is on his way to hell. But at the same time, a Christian, after he becomes born again, the choices that he makes determine a lot of things in his life. If a person doesn't live for God, he may find out that his children do not walk with God. If a person gets into all sorts of promiscuous lifestyles, then all of a sudden his life will go upside down. He could lose his family. There's unbelievable results that come from a life that is not pleasing to God. So a person that turns to Jesus, you have to remember, you're under special scrutiny by God, and he will steer you this way or that way. But if you insist on living your own life and not following the life that God wants you to have, then you may run into trouble. Even though the mercies of God are extended to you all the way to the end, regardless how bad you are, regardless how much you fall and fail, God's hands is always extended to you. So we need to understand that God loves his children. And that the same thing with those who do not accept Jesus as their Savior. God's hand will be extended to you in love all the way to the end of your life. If you make a choice for God, even at the last second, God will forgive you. I would not put it off until then, because you never know. You may leave very suddenly, like it happens with accidents, with people getting killed. So today is the day. Harden not your heart. Tomorrow can be far too late, because God is not mocked. What the man sows, that shall he also reap. So today I will teach on what happens to the believer if when he makes choices. The choices that he makes determines how he's going to stand before God. So before we get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus, and I pray, Lord, that you will open people's hearts to the signs of the times. Lord God, there is a shortness of time. We're fast running out of time. So God, you will open their hearts so that they'll see the seriousness of the situation. I thank you for your grace, and I ask you to anoint this message. Bless the listener in Jesus' name. Amen. When one studies the book of Corinthians, we can clearly see that Paul touches a lot of subject when he wrote letters to those people. And one of the subject was the Bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, where he explains how God will judge the believer once he gets into the kingdom of God. And that judgment will have nothing to do with his sin. It will have everything to do with how he operated in the gifts of the Spirit, how he operated when it came to do the works of the kingdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 10, it tells us, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another builds thereon, but let every man take heed how he builds thereon. So it tells us here that we're all working together when it comes to bringing people into the kingdom of God. One lays the foundation, the other builds thereon. As Christians, this is how we have to view one another. We are not in competition. We are working together to bring people into the kingdom. It says one lays the foundation, the other builds thereon. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay except that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man built upon that foundation, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. So there's different material that you can use to build on that foundation. The main thing is you have to be on the foundation. Don't try to build a house if you do not have the right foundation. And many religious organizations do not have the right foundation. Regardless how they try to minister, regardless how they try to live for God, if they're not on the foundation, then that building is useless and will come crashing down. So we need to understand and see that it's the foundation that is important. That is the start. If you're not on the foundation, then all your works are for nothing. But if you start building on the foundation, that's when the Word of God teaches us we need to make sure that we use the right material. It's either gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, or stubble. What is the difference between those when it comes to working for God or living for God or doing God's work? The wood, hay, and stubble are your own works. They're your own efforts. The gold, silver, precious, and precious stones are the works that you do through the power of the Holy Spirit. It has to be in line with what God wants, not what you want. You have to fall in line with God. You have to be in His work, not your own work. Far too many preachers today, far too many ministries, are far too busy building their own kingdoms, and it'll come to nothing in the end because it's wood, hay, and stubble, and it'll burn. The Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So there's not going to be any escape. You'll stand before God, and God will check you out on what you have. I once heard an interesting testimony by a man who was going to die. He had cancer and he was going to die. And he was a minister of the gospel. He had quite a ministry going. And he came before the Lord and told him, I want to be like Hezekiah. The Hezekiah that in the Bible, whose life was extended for 15 years. And he said, I don't believe I finished my work that I'm doing for you. I would like to have an extended life. And the man told the story this way. Well, he died anyway. And it was before God, or he had a vision. I don't know how quite how these things work. Anyways, he had a vision, and he stood before God. And God asked him, why do you want me to extend your life? And he said, like Hezekiah, I have a ministry, and I need to fulfill it. You'll give Hezekiah 15 more years, so why can't you give me 15 more years? And God told him, okay, I will show you something. I will expose your work. I'll show you how your work is. So he took the curtain away, and the pastor saw that he was building his own little kingdom for himself. He wasn't out to please the heart of God. He was out to please himself and his own little kingdom. So God said to him, you have all your works are burned off. So what do you want now? And the man asked for mercy. And he said, Lord, I want to go back and I want to try and do better. And he did repent and he did start living and ministering for God. So this is the experience of a person who either had a vision or was taken into heaven, but it changed his whole life because he understood that all his works for the kingdom was pure selfishness. And that's what we got to guard against. Why are we doing what we're doing? It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he builds thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. So it says clearly here, if your works are going to survive the fire of God, you will receive a reward. But if it's not going to survive, it's going to burn, and you shall suffer loss, but you yourself shall be saved. Look how beautiful that is. Even if we don't live for God, even if we do our own little thing, at least we will be saved. I don't recommend it, but look at how God loves us. Even if we don't work for him, he still wants to save us. It's still the blood of Jesus that brings us into the kingdom. It tells us, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So we need to look at these things because God wants the best for us. He doesn't tell us these things to threaten us. He's telling us these things so that we can help ourselves when it comes to serving the King, the kingdom of God. He wants us to stand with our heads high, assured of ourselves that we are working for God. Then we will not be ashamed when we stand at his presence. So I want you to open your heart to these interesting truths because God wants the best for his children. Like the unbeliever is not willing that any perish. The same thing for his children. He wants you to achieve the utmost in your life. He doesn't want you to do your own thing because in that case, it's wood, hay, or stubble, and you'll be a failure when it comes to the giving out of crowns. At the judgment seat of Christ, there's going to be a great exposure. That's when everybody will stand before God, and we will be judged. And each one of us will be judged according to our works. So when we appear at the judgment seat of Christ, it will not help us any to point out the wrongs and the mistakes of other ministries. What we will have to see and understand and maybe suffer is the judgment that we're going to receive on how we operated in our ministry. So look at yourself. Be pleasing to God, for each and every one of us will stand individually and will be individually judged. So open your heart to this. We will be saved through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
but our works will be judged at the Bema seat of Christ. There is a big difference there, and I want to stand with an assured heart that I tried my best for the Lord. And even there, like the Apostle Paul says, I cannot judge myself. God will be the ultimate judge in this. So let the Lord open your heart to this and become a blessing to yourself. Amen.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost our way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost our way. You are the one that
of the program, I want to relate a story that a missionary explained on YouTube. This team of believers, of missionaries, went to Guatemala after a big earthquake to minister to the people and to help build their houses that were destroyed. And they were ministering in the villages, and many, many people came to the Lord Jesus Christ. But there was one village where they stayed a couple of weeks building houses and explaining to the people that it was because of the love of Christ that they were building those houses. And not too many turned to the Lord. They would attentively listen to their messages, but they would not accept Jesus as their Savior. On the last day of their ministry there, of their building, in the evening, they give a message. This missionary give a message. But then before he give a message, one of the team came and explained to him that there was a little girl that was tied to a tree by one of the houses in the village. And they have asked, and he said, why did they do that? It was tied like a dog was tied to a tree. And those missionaries had asked the parents, why do you tie this little girl to a tree? She was about 7 years old. And they said, if we let her go, she would hurt herself and hurt others and even run away where we wouldn't be able to find it because she is totally crazy. And then this missionary, when he heard the story, started to preach. And while he was preaching, he heard the Holy Spirit. You will set the little girl free. But that missionary had never experienced anything like that. He didn't know how to cast out demons. And he said, Lord, are you sure you want me to do that? He said, I was scared. And the Lord said, yes, you will do it. And what happens if I don't? Then you will be in failure. That's what God told him. And that little girl could be and could end up in death. So then he told the whole village that he was going to do that. He was going to release that little girl from the demonic power that was keeping her in that situation. And as he walked up there, he prayed in the Holy Spirit. He prayed to God and he commanded that demon to leave. And he said, that's when Jesus came out of hiding. That's when the Jesus of the Bible stepped into today's life. That's when the cobwebs of Jesus was taken off and he brought life to that little girl. Yes, Jesus surely proved himself. The demon had to leave. The little girl was restored. And many, all in that village, turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that story sounds a little far-fetched to some people, but I myself have experienced casting demons out of people. I know the power of God is real. I've come across situations where demons scream in terror as you tell them to leave. This Jesus that was so powerful 2,000 years ago is still as powerful today. Today he lives in you, and all you have to do is not be afraid and come against those demonic forces in the name of Jesus, and they will have to flee, just like this missionary found out. So the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 9, in verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. That's very, very clearly written. We are laborers together with God. We are his mouthpiece, and God is the one that gives the increase. It's like this: Apollos watered, I have planted, and God gives the increase. Without the power of God behind you, you can do nothing. But God has promised us Christians, greater works will you do than I did, because I go unto the Father. So open your heart to these awesome and interesting truths. God wants you to start operating in the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit. So let the Lord bless you and make you a blessing.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. You can also reach us online at reachingoutministries.com. That's reachingoutministries.com.